the holy name, let me first make it very, very clear that this is a topic which is far beyond my realization. It's hard to say that I can speak on the holy name with realization. Whatever I have heard and read, heard from the senior devotees, read from Srila Prabhupada's books, maybe we would like to share that with all of you. So, we will be having discussion on practical aspects of chanting also, dealing with our attitudes, dealing with our pronunciations, our postures, with demonstrations. However, to begin with, we will have an introductory session today, and we will talk on three aspects of the holy name today. First will be scriptural hierarchy and the holy name. How do you understand the holy name in terms of the hierarchy of scriptures? Secondly, we'll try to understand the identity of the holy name by studying the six different characteristics of the holy name. And thirdly, we shall try to discuss about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special contribution in regards to the holy name. So that will be our introductory session, and from tomorrow on we'll begin discussing about the holy name more seriously. So firstly, we'll talk about the hierarchy of the scriptures and the holy name. Right? So all of us are well aware that Srila Prabhupada said that the Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of spirituality. It is the undergraduate study of spirituality. And what does the Bhagavad Gita speak of? Who we are. Yes, what else? What is the sum and substance of the Bhagavad Gita? Bhakti Yoga. Bhagavad Gita is known for the Bhakti Yoga, and one devotee was giving a very interesting example to illustrate this point. This devotee was saying, just like when we have a sandwich is not known for the two slices of bread, but the sandwich is known for the stuffing which is filled in the two slices of bread. We have a vegetable sandwich or different varieties of sandwich. We never say bread sandwich. Right. So he was mentioning that the first six chapters of the Gita are like one slice of bread. And the last six chapters of the Gita, 13 to 18, are like the other slice of bread. And chapters number 7 to 12 are the stuffing in between these two slices of bread. And thus, the Bhagavad Gita must be known for what these six chapters portray. Right. And what do these two six chapters talk about? These six chapters talk about Bhakti Yoga. Just like a sandwich is known for the stuffing within, similarly the Bhagavad Gita is known for the process of Bhakti Yoga, which is mentioned in the middle six chapters of the Gita. Right? And how does the Gita end? The last verse of the Bhagavad Gita is what? The last verse of the Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna. Spoken by Krishna. The last verse spoken by Krishna. The last instruction given by Krishna. The summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Pardon? Yeah, Manmana Bhavan Mad Bhakto is there. But a more important verse than that, which is emphasized as the summary of the Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me alone. The Vaishnava Acharyas have explained that the entire Bhagavad Gita is just like a mountain. Right. And the last verse, the Sarva Dharman Parityajya verse, which is called the Charama verse, right, the conclusion of the Gita, is like the peak of the mountain. Just as a mountaineer, when he goes to a mountain, he's not so much interested on going to the different side, on the different rocks of the mountain. But a mountaineer is always interested to go up to the peak. Similarly, a student of the Bhagavad Gita is not so much interested in following all the different varieties of prescriptions given in the Gita, but he is very much interested in reaching the peak verse or the Charama Sima verse, which is the Sarva Dharman Parityajya verse. Surrender unto me. Right? So where the Gita ends, that is where the Srimad Bhagavatam begins. So surrender is the last verse of Gita, and we find in the characters of the Srimad Bhagavatam this principle of surrender in a personified way. We have the example of Prahlad, we have the example of Ambarish, we have the example of Yudhishthir. Different devotees exhibiting this quality of surrender. And does any of you know what is the last verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam? 12th canto, last verse. So the Gita ends with surrender, the Bhagavad begins with surrender. Right. The Bhagavad ends with what words? Any idea? Anyone has any idea? The last verse of the Bhagavatam, the conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, you can guess. Sort of. The hint is clear. We are talking about the holy name. Right. Since we are talking of the holy name, the Srimad Bhagavatam ends with the holy name. The last verse of the Bhagavatam is Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukha Shamanam Tam Namami Harimparam. A prayer is being made. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has manifested in the form of the holy name. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya. And this Nama Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name, Sarva Papa Pranashanam, will destroy all the sins of the conditioned living entities. Right. So Gita begins with bhakti, teaches bhakti, ends with surrender. The Bhagavad begins with surrender, ends with the holy name. And guess what the Chaitanya Charitamrita begins with? Right. Hari Nam Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yugavatar who has come specifically to propagate the Nama Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy names of Lord Sri Krishna. Right. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita is nothing but the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the first Harinam Sankirtan, when was that? Anyone knows? The first public demonstration of Harinam in Navadvip. Chandkazi, right. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performing his intimate Ras Lila pastimes. In whose house? Srivas Thakur, the nocturnal kirtans for a year. Right. And then, before taking sannyas, going for the South India Yatra and spreading the chanting of the holy names all over South India. And after sannyas, residing in Jagannath Puri and tasting the nectarian mellows of the holy name of the Lord. Right. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his life is an emblem, personification of spreading the congregational chanting of the holy names. So that is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And what does Lord Chaitanya say in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Kali Kaler Dharma Harinam Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. The name, the dharma of the Kali Yuga is Harinam Sankirtan, chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And unless someone receives Krishna Shakti, he cannot preach the glories of the holy name. So where the Chaitanya Charitamrita ends, what begins? Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrita begins there, right? Where Krishna Shakti infused within the life of Srila Prabhupada, and we find how Srila Prabhupada spread the congregational chanting of the holy name all over the world, right? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made that famous prophecy. What was that? About the holy name being spread all over? Yeah? Yeah, in every town and village, the holy name of the Lord will be spread. His Holiness Suhotra Swami Maharaj was here about 3 years back, and he was telling an interesting story in this regard. His Holiness Brahmananda Swami, at that time, Brahmananda Prabhu now, he was in Jagannath Puri. When he went to Jagannath Puri, he saw a senior Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasi walking by the Jagannath's temple. So Brahmananda Swami then, huge, you know, with his huge sannyas danda, when he saw this Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasi, he immediately offered his prostrated obeisances. Now this Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasi was taken aback. My God, this is too much. Such a huge sannyasi, first of all, and a westerner on top of that, has a kanti mala, has a Gaudiya tilak, has a bead bag, has a sannyas danda. Who is this? So this Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasi asked Brahmananda Swami this question. Who are you? He said, I am a disciple of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He said, who is this Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada? I don't know him. So Brahmananda Swami was trying to explain who Prabhupada was, but this Gaudiya sannyasi could not understand. So at that time, Brahmananda Swami had a Krishna book. He just turned the Krishna book and showed the picture of Prabhupada and said, this is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, my spiritual master. So this Gaudiya Vaishnava Swami said, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sannyasi said, oh, Abhay Babu, is it? You're talking of Abhay Babu. So Brahmananda Swami was thinking, oh, just see, Prabhupada spread the holy name all over the world and he still thinks of Prabhupada as just Abhay Babu. Right. So this Gaudiya Vaishnava Sannyasi told Brahmananda Swami an interesting story. He said, when your spiritual master was a grahastha and he was living in Bombay, he had an apartment where he was living and he would invite all of his god brothers to come to his house and have discussions on the glories of the holy name, discussions related to Krishna, Krishna Katha. So he said most of us would go to his house, sannyasis and god brothers. So the house was two-storied. There was a ground floor and a top floor and a staircase connected the ground floor to the top floor. So he said, on the top floor in a room, all of us would sit and discuss, and sometimes Abhay Babu would come and join us. But very often, because he would be busy with his business and work, he wouldn't have time to chant all his rounds in the morning. So we would be discussing up there and he would be chanting his rounds. So one fine day, all of us god brothers, sannyasis, we went to the house of Abhay Babu and we were sitting in the room up there and we were talking about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prophecy. Prithivite ache jata nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hoibe mara naam. In every town and village all over the world, and sometimes Abhay Babu would come and join us. But very often, because he would be busy with his business and work, he wouldn't have time to chant all his rounds in the morning. So we would be discussing up there and he would be chanting his rounds. So one fine day, all of us god brothers, sannyasis, we went to the house of Abhay Babu and we were sitting in the room up there and we were talking about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prophecy. Prithivite ache jata nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hoibe mara naam. In every town and village all over the world, the holy names of the Lord will be preached. Right. So as we were discussing this, he said, we were in a quandary, we were in a dilemma. We were not able to figure out how that was possible. Our Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had already sent few of his disciples to London and all of few other places, and they were not successful in preaching the glories of the holy name. As a matter of fact, they had to change their lifestyles to adapt to the methodologies of people there. Right. So they were trying to figure out who is going to do this job. And finally, in their discussion, they thought that what Lord Chaitanya was speaking was simply figurative. Right. Probably it was simply an allegory. Or what he meant was, previously the whole world was Bharatvarsha. 500 years back, everything was known as Bharatvarsha. So now since Bharatvarsha is reduced to the small tract of land called India, probably Lord Chaitanya meant that the holy name will be spread in India. Right. In this way, they are trying to speculate and discuss. And finally, they were just about to get down and leave. As they were coming down and they were discussing, I don't think this is possible. I don't think anyone can do this. Our Guru Maharaj has already tried sending his disciples and no one could do it. And Abhay Babu was sitting on the last rung of the staircase and finishing his rounds. Abhay Babu heard this discussion amongst all of his god brothers, that this prophecy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was simply figurative, was simply allegorical. It was not possible for it to actually materialize. It was not possible for this prophecy to be actually seen in practice. Right. So as they were discussing while coming down, Abhay Babu turned back and he said, "Don't all of you believe in the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? If he says Prithvi, Prithvi means Prithvi, the whole earth. It doesn't simply mean a tract of land called India on Prithvi." So all of the God brothers asked Prabhupada, Abhay Babu, "Our Guru Maharaj has already sent several of his sannyasis and they have miserably failed. Right? Who do you think is going to do this job?" And Prabhupada paused for a moment. He has hung his head down in great humility. Right? And he turned towards his God brothers and said, "Whoever is going to do it, it's definitely not going to be any of you." Right. Right. Prabhupada said that. And then the sannyasi who was talking to Brahmanand Swami said, "Now we realize that it was he who was the chosen one. He who was the Senapati Bhakta, the commander-in-chief of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army, who was empowered by Krishna Shakti, who was empowered by the mercy of Krishna to spread the congregational chanting of the holy names all over the world. So we really cannot discuss about the holy name independent of the Gita, independent of the Srimad Bhagavatam, independent of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and specifically independent of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada." Right? And thus it is very important to firstly understand the hierarchy of the scriptures and its relation to the holy name. The Bhagavad Gita ending with surrender, the Bhagavatam beginning with surrender, ending with the holy name, as the Yuga Dharma, as the method for this age, and Chaitanya Charitamrit beginning with the propagation of the holy names, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prophecy that the holy name will be spread all over the world, and then Srila Prabhupada's life, where actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prophecy was realized. Right? So this is the first point that we discussed today. Scriptural hierarchy and the holy name. Right. The second point that we would discuss is the identity of the holy name. Right? Anytime you want to make a relationship with someone, you firstly need to know that person. Is it not? I can't just make a relationship with an alien person. If I want to make a relationship with someone, I need to know what he is, what his name is, where he lives, right, what he likes, what he dislikes, and then there is a possibility of making an intimate relationship with that person. So we really cannot make a relationship with the holy name unless and until we realize and understand what is the identity of the holy name, right? And there is one very interesting verse from the Padma Purana which describes the 6 different characteristics of the holy names, right? And thus reveals to us the identity of the holy name, right? So any of you like to guess what verse this is? Or maybe just give points in regards to what is the identity of the holy name? How do we know what the holy name is? What is the holy name? Right. Very popular verse. Very, very popular verse. And I'm sure most of you may even be knowing that verse. Right. Huh? Yes. The first is, it is non-different from Krishna. Anyone knows the verse? The Padma Purana verse, which speaks of the 6 different qualities and characteristics of the holy name of Lord Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnatvan Nama Namino. Right. And this is a very important verse, and it would be very nice if all of us could actually memorize this verse and learn this verse, because whenever we talk of the identity of the Holy Name,
I'll write it.
He has a bad back. I can write it myself. You be my scribe? No problem. Tomorrow I'll try to make a PowerPoint presentation, so we don't have to use the blackboard. So first point is scriptural hierarchy and the Holy Name. HIERARCHY. Now second is identity of the Holy Name. And each of the six characteristics will reveal to us six different qualities of Krishna. Okay? Very interesting. It's a very interesting semblance. Okay. So the first is Abhinnatvan Nama and Namino. Nama means the name, and Nami means the person whom the name belongs to. So the name and the person whom the name belongs to, Nama and Nami, Abhinnatvan. Bhinna means different. Abhinna means the same. There's no difference. So the first characteristic of the Holy Name is that Krishna and His Holy Name are one and the same. There is no difference between Krishna and His name. And this, we are, the Krishna and His name identical. Can any of you recollect an analogy given by Srila Prabhupada in regards to this? Whenever Srila Prabhupada would explain that Krishna and His name are identical, there is no difference between them. That's a very, very popular example that Srila Prabhupada would give. Can you think of it? Sun and the sun rays. But that's not in connection to this. In practically every lecture where Prabhupada talks of Krishna and His name being the same, he'll make a point that he talks about this. Right. Yes. Can you explain?
He says if you say water, 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 it won't quench your thirst. But if you say Krishna, then you've got a direct connection.
Yes. This is a very popular example which the Prabhupada gives. If you just say water, 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 will your thirst be quenched? No. All of you say no. Why? Why would our thirst not be quenched simply by saying water, 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 water? Because the word water is different from the object water. You have water in a glass and I'm saying the word water and there's absolutely no relationship between the two. Therefore, though I say water, 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 my thirst is not quenched. Just imagine a situation where the word water and the object water were the same. So as soon as I would say water, the object water would be on my tongue and my thirst would be quenched. So Krishna and His name are non-different. They are identical. As soon as we say Krishna, 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 we are actually in the direct association of Lord Sri Krishna. And there should be no doubts about this. Based on this authoritative verse of the Padma Purana, as soon as we say Krishna, because Krishna and His name are non-different, we are in direct association with the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. I was just reading in Sachinandan Swami's book, the commentary on this verse, Namachintamani Krishna. And he was quoting Prabhupada. And in that particular section I was reading, Prabhupada says, if you are sitting in your room and you call out, Mr. John, Mr. John, Mr. John, I am in trouble, save me. Will Mr. John be there to save you? No, he wouldn't. Because the name and the person are two different things. But we may be in this world, in the greatest calamity of our life, and we say, Krishna, Krishna, save me. Krishna is right there to save us. Right. Why? Because he and his name are non-different. Can you think of an example? If Krishna's name was called and suddenly Krishna was there. Draupadi is one example where she called out, Krishna, Krishna, and Krishna was immediately there to protect her. Another example from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ajamil, of course, Ajamil, right. He called out for his son, but still, the Lord took it as his holy name. What other example? Prahlad. Prahlad was more of remembering. Of course, chanting, but more of smaranam, remembrance.
War between the crocodile and Gajendra. Gajendra taking shelter of Lord Sri Krishna and Lord coming immediately to save him.
Hare Krishna.
There is a mention of a king named Maharaj Khatwanga, right, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Khatwanga was a king who fought on behalf of the demigods against the demons and defeated the demons. The demigod said, what benediction would you like? Maharaj Khatwanga said, just tell me, when am I going to die? And the demigod said, next moment. Next moment, what would you do in that one moment? Right. There was no other process he could adopt. Maharaj Khatwanga took complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was delivered from the repeated cycle of birth and death. Right. So, this particular characteristic of the holy name reveals to us one quality of Lord Krishna. And that is, that Krishna is absolute. Right. Krishna being absolute, his holy name is also absolute. There is absolutely no difference between him and his holy name. Can you think of a verse from the Brahma Samhita which reveals Krishna's absolute nature? Right. Krishna's limbs and Krishna himself? Yeah? We sing it every morning. We sing it every morning that every limb of Lord Krishna can perform the function of every other limb of his. He can talk with his eyes, eat with his nose, walk with his ears, write with his legs. Right. That is his absolute nature. Each of Krishna's limbs are absolute and can perform functions irreversibly. Right. Similarly, Krishna and his holy name are identical. We should never think that Krishna's holy name and Krishna are different. There is anything less in Krishna's holy name than Krishna. Right? You understand? So, Krishna and his name are identical, and that proves the absolute nature of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So, whenever we call out for the holy name of Krishna, we chant Krishna's name, we are in direct association with Krishna. When we chant Krishna's name and hear his holy name through our ears, Krishna actually enters in our heart and cleanses our heart of all the contamination. Now just take an example. If there is 3 bowls of dal which just spills over the floor and we are supposed to clean it, we use a mop. We use a piece of cloth to clean it out, to mop it, right? Now, what should be the quality of the cloth in order that the floor is cleansed? Yeah. Wet, okay. Clean.
That is very important. Unless the cloth is clean itself, you can't clean the floor. You see? If the floor is dirty and you want to clean the floor of the dirt on it, then the first characteristic that the cloth should have is it should be clean. So if Krishna's holy name is cleansing our heart, then Krishna's holy name should be pure itself. So the second quality of Krishna's holy name is Purna Shuddho. Krishna's holy name is completely pure. Purna Shuddha. Because Krishna's holy name is completely pure, it can purify and cleanse our heart in as much as a cloth which is completely clean can clean the dirt on the floor. Right. Now let's extend that analogy. If you take a piece of cloth and you clean the floor, what happens to the cloth? The floor gets clean and the cloth gets dirty. So Krishna's holy name, non-different from Krishna, enters our heart. It is completely pure, Purna Shuddho, and therefore it cleanses our heart. And as the logic continues, Krishna's holy name is contaminated. Right? Because it's Krishna's cleaning our heart, then Krishna's holy name becomes contaminated. Krishna's holy name becomes impure. In as much as if you take a cloth and clean the floor, the cloth becomes dirty. No. Therefore, the third quality of Krishna's holy name is it is Nitya Mukta. Eternally liberated. And in the translation it is mentioned, Krishna's holy name is eternally liberated and therefore completely untinged and influenced by the contamination of this world. Right? So Krishna's holy name can purify our heart. At the same time, Krishna's holy name is absolutely unaffected. Sometimes people say, you know, when we tell people, especially in India, to tell them, please take to the chanting of the names of Krishna. Please chant Hare Krishna. They say, no, we can't chant Hare Krishna. Why? Because we are smoking, or we are drinking, or we are womanizing. They feel as if all of their sins will putrefy and contaminate the holy name of Lord Krishna. Right? But Krishna's holy name is Nitya Mukta, or eternally liberated. And thus, Krishna's holy name cannot be influenced or affected by all of the contaminations in our heart. Can you give an example of this? Krishna's quality of purifying everything but remaining unaffected. Srila Prabhupada would quote this example very often, this analogy very often. Very popular one. Krishna can purify others but still remain unaffected by the contamination. Yes, he's giving a beautiful example that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes the sins of Jagai Madhai, but after Harinam Sankirtan, then all of the sins go away. But an analogy which Prabhupada gives. Beautiful analogy. Can you think of? Prabhupada used to quote this very often. I'll give you a hint. Maybe then you can try. Sun. Think about the sun. Yeah? You'd like to try, Prabhu? Prabhupada would say that on a hot sunny day, a young little toddler, a child may come on the street and pass urine on the street. And within no time, within a few minutes, the urine is evaporated by the power of the sun. By the power of the sun, the urine is evaporated and the place is clean. It doesn't stink any longer. Right. But it's not that the wife of Vivaswan says, why are you stinking today? You know, Vivaswan is sun god, no? So, it's not that his wife comes and says, you're stinking today. You cleanse that urine on the earth. My God, you're stinking like hell. No. Prabhupada used to say, the sun can purify all the contamination and dirt by its power, but the sun remains absolutely unaffected. Similarly, the holy name of Lord Krishna, which is Nitya Mukta, or eternally liberated, can clean all the contamination in our heart, but remain absolutely unaffected.
Correct.
Fourth, next. The fourth characteristic or the quality of the holy name is, it is Chintamani.
Right.
Chintamani is a touchstone. It can fulfill all of our desires. Mind you, I am not speaking it can fulfill all of our spiritual desires. I am saying that it can fulfill all of our desires, including our spiritual desires. Because it is a touchstone. And therefore, if one is not careful in one's motivations and desires while chanting the holy name of the Lord, one may get everything else except bhakti and devotion to the Lord. You see? So, since the name is Chintamani or like a touchstone, one has to be very careful when one chants the holy name of the Lord. Right? We are reminded of the story of King Midas. Right? All of you are aware of the story of King Midas. Getting the benediction that whatever I touch should turn into gold. You know that story? And then he started touching everything and then finally he touched his daughter and she also turned into gold. Right? And then he repented like anything for what he had desired. You see? We have to be very, very careful in what we desire when we chant the holy name of Christ. We are going to discuss this. When we talk about attitudes in chanting the holy name, we'll be talking of what we should be expecting, what we should be praying when we chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. Question?
Isn't the example of Dhruva Maharaj that even if you have material desires, you get purified anyway? So, even though we should have the right consciousness, ultimately we'll get spiritual benefit.
So, we find even in the 6th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the glory of the holy name mentioned. Sanketyam, Parihasyam, Stobham, Helanam, Evava, Vaikunthanamagrihanam, Ashesh Agaharam Vidau. Sanketyam comes from the word Sanket. And Sanket means to indicate.
Right.
So you find sometimes a Hare Krishna devotee walking on the street. And someone makes an indication, a sanket. Hey, look at that Hare Krishna devotee going. But he did say Hare Krishna. That is called Sanketyam.
Right.
Parihasyam means to make fun. Right. To make fun of someone, just very playfully talk about devotees and just chant Hare Krishna in that way. Sometimes people make a lot of fun of devotees in India. Brahmacharis in India. Right. When brahmacharis they go for preaching, then they sing this famous Hindi song. I don't know how many of you know this famous Hindi song. Most of you know that famous Hindi song. Dam maro dam, khushi hoya gam, bolo subha sham, Hare Krishna Hare Ram. Right? Now, they definitely didn't intend to chant Hare Krishna. Just parihasyam, to make fun, they chanted Hare Krishna. Right? And stobham. Stobham means for musical entertainment. Right? So you have a nice keyboard or a nice harmonium and mridanga and some very famous lead singer from India or from any part of the world comes and chants Hare Krishna. Like Allen Ginsberg, for instance. During Srila Prabhupada's time, Allen Ginsberg would come and chant Hare Krishna along with Srila Prabhupada. Right? But that was only for some musical purposes and he had some other purposes in mind. And when we were in Jagannath Puri, there was a very, very popular singer from India, a lady singer who came to Jagannath Puri. And she was chanting the holy names of Krishna, right? But what was it for? Simply some musical entertainment and for some prestige out of that. The Bhagavatam explains, this is Yamaraj explaining to the Yamadutas in the 6th canto, even if the holy name is chanted, just saw some musical entertainment, neglectfully, helanam, or to indicate someone, or just to make fun, still one will get benefit. Ashesh agha, all his sins will be destroyed. Right? So when we chant the holy name with some other purpose, there will definitely be benefit. But we will not get the desired benefit. We will not get the ultimate benefit of chanting the holy names of the Lord. There will definitely be benefit. Some purification will be there. And in regards to Dhruva Maharaj, Although Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest with material desires in his heart, he had the guidance of a pure devotee like Srila Narada Muni. And that factor, the association of a pure devotee, makes so much difference that though you approach the Lord with a material desire in the heart, the guidance of a pure devotee, the mercy of a pure devotee, fetches the mercy of the Lord and cleanses the heart of all material desires. Therefore, the Bhagavatam does not stop us from approaching the Lord even if we have material desires. Right? The Bhagavatam says, akama, sarvakama or mokshakama. You may have no material desires. Your heart may be filled with material desires. Your heart may have a desire for liberation. No problem. Worship the Supreme Lord with intense devotional service. So yes, definitely there will be benefit. But not the ultimate benefit unless there is guidance and association of devotees. Right? So therefore one has to be very, very careful about the motivations and desires when we chant the holy name of Lord Sri Krishna. Right? And thus when we have the association of devotees, when we have guidance of the spiritual master, guidance of senior devotees, by hearing from them regularly, we now try to match ourselves with what is expected of us. We are not at that level. None of us are at that level now. But regularly hearing gives us an impetus. Yes, I must come to what is ideal. Just because we cannot now match up with the ideal doesn't mean that what we are doing is ideal. Right? Oftentimes there is a tendency to justify that, okay, you know, why reach for that? What I'm doing is okay. Right? No, there is always an ideal, a benchmark. And all of us are supposed to reach that. When we hear in the association of devotees, when we hear from senior devotees, what our attitudes, what our motivations should be, then slowly, steadily, we can match our lives, we can match our activities to fit in to these ideals. Like His Holiness Kadam Kanan Maharaj was giving an interesting example. He said, our devotional service is like a car, a vehicle, right? Running on four wheels, running on tires, right? Our enthusiasm is like the air that is filled in the tires. So long as we have that enthusiasm, the vehicle of our devotional service keeps moving ahead. Right? But wrong motivations, improper attitudes, wrong desires are like a leak in the tire. Right? You have a pin and you make a leak in the tire, all the air just passes out, and you have a flat tire, and your vehicle can no longer go ahead. He said, if we are not careful of our desires, if we are not careful of our attitudes, right, what happens is, it's like a leak and all our enthusiasm is drained out. And we can see that in our lives also as devotees. As practitioners, we observe this. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we have a lot of enthusiasm. We are bubbling with enthusiasm. Right? The deities appear to be so beautiful. The prasad appears to be so palatable and succulent and tasty. The devotees appear to be like angels, you see. They have such wonderful personalities. Prabhupada's books and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness just appeals to the intellect. And over a period of time, the same enthusiasm doesn't continue. We say, oh God, the same deity, the same darshanarthi. Every Sunday practically the same Sunday feast menu. Maybe a little bit of change here and there. The same kind of prasadam. Every morning the same mantra. Every morning see the same devotees all around you. The same philosophy, you are not the body or the soul. Right? Enthusiasm seems to go down. Why is that so? Because we are not very careful in maintaining that enthusiasm. And Kadam Kanan Maharaj was mentioning, this is the reason why we have to be careful of our desires, of our attitudes, of our expectations in devotional service. Can any of you say, why Krishna gives everything else except bhakti? When you chant the holy name to just get devotion to Him, He can give it to you. But that doesn't come easy. Right? He can give you anything else. You chant Hare Krishna to get money, you can get money. His Holiness Radhanath Swami was describing about a devotee in the Hare Krishna movement. He was a very nice devotee. He used to chant very intensely. not very careful, right? He left the Hare Krishna movement and now he's a leading management guru in the Western world outside, right? Your desires can be fulfilled. Any desire can be fulfilled when you chant Hare Krishna with a motivation. One of the offenses is to the holy name of the Lord is that if you have material attachments when you are chanting, right, it will not bear the full fruit because it is an offense to the holy name of the Lord. So we are not at all talking of the desired fruit of devotional service. Here we are not talking of devotional service. Here we are not talking of bhakti that will come out as a result of chanting. The holy name is Chintamani. It is a touchstone, right? And if you chant the holy name with a certain desire in your heart, you can get it fulfilled, right? And just the other day, this morning you had a class by Govind Prabhu. Govind Prabhu was mentioning, right? There was one brahmachari. He was a temple president of a very leading temple in Maharashtra. And what was he chanting the holy name for? He would go with a mridanga in his, just around his neck, and chant Hare Krishna so melodiously, so attractively. He was infatuated by a girl. Right. And he simply wanted this girl at any cost. Right. He would go in and around her house chanting Hare Krishna. Right. Singing very attractively. Just to attract the attention of the opposite sex. He was a brahmachari. Now he is a grihastha. Right. I don't know if he did get the same girl. He definitely got a girl. I know this devotee very well. Right. You see? So yes, the purpose of chanting Hare Krishna is to get devotional service. But if that is not your purpose and you want something else, then the Lord says, don't worry. You can take whatever you want from my name except bhakti. And I want you to answer, why Krishna doesn't want to award bhakti so easily? Because it is not cheap. Okay, one answer. He doesn't want disturbance. He close. You're close to the answer. He doesn't want to be disturbed by a person who's not qualified. Closer. Love, yes. Can come even still closer. We're very close. He doesn't want to be disturbed by a person who's not qualified. Right. Bhakti has the power to control Krishna. Right. Why would Krishna give a facility by which he would be controlled, unless he sees that the person is really, really, really qualified. Right? Bhakti is the only commodity, only element that can control Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami calls bhakti as sudurlabha, extremely rare. He doesn't give it easy. That's because it has the power to control him. You understand? So Krishna can give you anything. And can you think of a verse from the Shikshashtakam prayer where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that I don't want these things. When I chant the holy name, as a concomitant result, these factors will follow because Krishna will give all of these things. Take this, my son. But not bhakti so easily. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadishakamai, mama janmani, Janmanishvare Bhavatad Bhakti Rahi Tukitvai. And one of our devotees here, Temple President Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he gives a very interesting example to illustrate this point. He says, just like if there is a young child, small little child, the mother is in the kitchen cooking some food and the child is in the drawing room sitting, and the child starts crying, weeping, mommy, 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 starts shouting, wants the mother to come and pick it up. But the mother comes, and says, okay darling, shut up, keep quiet, no problem, take this lollipop. As soon as the child takes the lollipop, the mother goes back to the kitchen. Right. Doesn't pick up the child. The child says, no, I don't want lollipop, throws the lollipop away. Mommy says, okay darling, come on, don't worry. I'll show you a cartoon movie, come on. He just turns on the television and puts on a cartoon movie there. The child says, no, I don't want, throws a stone at the television set. I don't want anything. Finally, when the child proves that he doesn't want anything else except the mother, then the mother picks up the child. If the child is satisfied with the lollipop, okay, be satisfied. Then I'll go and do my work. If you're satisfied with the cartoon movie, no problem, be satisfied, I'll go and do my work. So by chanting the holy name of the Lord, why do you think Lord Chaitanya included it in the Shikshashtakam prayers? All the 8 verses dealing with the holy name.
Right.
By chanting the holy name of the Lord, okay, you want dhanam, take. But you have to say, no, I don't want dhanam. Just like the child says, no lollipop, na dhanam. No followers, na janam. No glorification, kavitam, sundarim, no women. I don't want any of these things. What do you want, my dear child? Then the child says, I don't want lollipop, I don't want cartoon. He keeps crying, I just want you. Right? When the child proves himself, then the mother picks up the child. Right? Similarly, when we prove ourselves, although the holy name is Chintamani and can fulfill all of our material desires also, when we prove ourselves that we don't want any of these things coming from the holy name,
right,
then finally the ultimate fruit of the holy name will be born in our lives. And that is pure love of Godhead, bhakti, pure devotion unto the Lord. Right? So therefore, the holy name is Chintamani. That is the 4th characteristic of the holy name. The 5th is, it is Chaitanya. Chaitanya means fully conscious. These 2 qualities are very important. Krishna's name and he are identical, non-different, and Chaitanya. Why they are very important? They are very important because we do not then consider the holy name as simply a combination of some syllables. The tendency is to see the holy name simply as a combination of some syllables. And when we chant, very often, we become so mechanical, and we say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Just some Hare Krishna, some syllables going on the lips. Right? But these 2 qualities of the holy name are very important to understand. First, Krishna and his name are identical, non-different. Don't think that these names are some syllables. It's actually Krishna himself. And fully conscious. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Chit or Chetana. Right. Chaitanya comes from the word Chetan or fully conscious. Yes. If Krishna is all attractive, right. And Krishna's holy name is so attractive, why do we have no attraction towards the holy name? I'll answer this question with 2 verses. One from the Srimad Bhagavatam, attraction to Krishna, and second from Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Instruction, attraction to Krishna's holy name.
Right.
When Prahlad was asked by his teacher, Shanda and Amaraka, that none of us are teaching you bhakti to the Supreme Lord, where do you get this attraction to Krishna from?
Right.
And Prahlad spoke a very beautiful verse. Yatha bhramayate ayo brahman swayam akarsha sannidhau tatha me bhidyate cheta chakrapaner sadrishya. Gave a beautiful example. Said, ayo means iron.
Right.
And if you have an iron piece or an iron filing close to a magnet, a powerful magnet, Prahlad said, you don't have to teach the iron, go and get attracted. Swayam akarsha sannidho. Swayam akarsha. Spontaneously it is attracted to the magnet. You don't have to teach the iron filing, be attracted to the magnet. Similarly, one doesn't have to teach the soul to be attracted to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, who is like a powerful magnet. Just like the iron filing is spontaneously attracted to the magnet, similarly we are spontaneously attracted to Krishna. However, when the iron filing is covered by rust in its unnatural state, the iron filing is not attracted to Krishna, not attracted to the magnet. So the iron filing is covered by rust and we are covered by lust.
Right?
You see? When we have lust, anger, illusion, envy, greed, pride over our heart, then that spontaneous attraction to Krishna is obscured.
Right?
So when you have an iron filing, what do? Or an iron piece? You know what a file is? You file off the rust. So the holy name is like a file. You file off the anarthas in your heart. The lust, the anger, the illusion, the envy, the greed and pride. And once the rust is gone, once again the iron filing is attracted to the magnet. Similarly, once again our hearts are spontaneously attracted to Krishna. That's in regards to our attraction to Krishna. Now Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction also talks about the attraction of each of us to the holy name of Krishna. I don't think, at least not me, all of you are maybe exalted souls tasting the nectar of the holy name. But as regards me, God, it's a big struggle every day. We're just managing, just to manage finishing the 16 rounds. It's so hard just to hear, right? I don't think I'm tasting any nectar. What does Rupa Goswami explain? Rupa Goswami explains that a patient of jaundice, his tongue is covered by secretions of bile, right? When the tongue is covered with bile, according to Ayurveda, the best medicine for jaundice is sugar candy or sugar cane juice. Now, sugar cane juice or sugar candy is very, very sweet, right? But the patient of jaundice, whose tongue is covered by this bile, cannot taste the sweetness. It tastes bitter to him, right? Doesn't taste sweet, it tastes bitter to him. And some of our devotees had jaundice, and I actually wanted to find out whether it was really bitter. It was written in the Sanskrit verse, but I was wondering whether it really tastes bitter, and they said, yes, it really tastes bitter. Now, if I were given a sugarcane juice, a glass of sugarcane juice, do you get that in London, sugarcane juice? Right. If you get a glass of sugarcane juice, I can't be satisfied with one. Right. I at least need 2, 3, 4 glasses. It's so nice, you know, so sweet. But unfortunately, if you have jaundice, you can't even drink half a glass. Can't drink even a quarter of a glass because it's so bitter. Correct. But the only medicine is sugarcane juice. So take it as a medicine. Keep drinking it as a medicine. And slowly when it works, the bile secretions will reduce. And once you're completely cured, then you'll say, not half a glass, give me 10 glasses. Right. Now the sweetness can be experienced, right? So why are we not experiencing attraction to the holy name? Why are we not tasting the nectar of the holy name now? Because our heart is covered with the bile of the 6 anarthas, the shudder ripus. And thus, the holy name, though it is so sweet, we really cannot experience the sweetness. Right? But once our heart is cleansed of all of this, the nectar that the holy name produces, you will think, 16 rounds? Why 16 rounds? Why not 32? Oh, why 32? Why not 64? Oh, why 64? Why not 192? By the way, Krishna says in the Gita, Satatam Kirtayanto, chant 24 hours. I'll chant 24 hours. It's producing such sweet nectar. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, he wrote a verse, very popular verse, which Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami, called all the Vaishnavas, right? And in front of Haridas Thakur, who is the Namacharya, he told Rupa Goswami, you recite this verse which you have composed. Right. And what was that verse? Rupa Goswami wrote, I do not know what kind of nectar these two syllables Kri and Shna have, that when I hear this, when I chant this in two syllables, I desire to have millions of tongues. What if with this one tongue I can get so much nectar? How I wish I had millions of tongues. How much nectar it would produce. When I hear it with my ears, I wish I had millions of ears. And when the holy name enters in the courtyard of my heart and starts dancing in the courtyard of my heart, it completely conquers all of my senses. Right. A formula for sense control. Right. Let the holy name enter in, dance in, and conquer our senses absolutely and completely. Right. Does that answer your question? So we are not attracted to the holy name because of the anarthas in the heart, in one place compared to the rust on the iron, in another place compared to the secretions of bile for a jaundiced patient. Okay? So, the holy name is fully conscious or Chaitanya. And the sixth characteristic of the holy name is, it is Rasa Vigraha. Rasa Vigraha means personification, embodiment of all of the rasas. All of the nectarian mellows that can be experienced with Krishna. Right? What does the soul actually want? The soul does not simply want the aspect of eternity, sat. Right. That is available for impersonalists. They realize the absolute as Brahman, and that is eternity, Sat. For the Paramatma yogis or the Dhyana yogis, they realize Paramatma, they reach Sat and Chit. But still, that can't give fulfillment. Simply realizing you are eternal and God is eternal can't give fulfillment. Simply having knowledge and being conscious of God's existence will not give fulfillment. What will give fulfillment is the reciprocation of relationship between the soul and God. Right? And that reciprocation of relationship is called rasa, exchange of mellows. Right? So the holy name is an embodiment, is vigraha of all the rasas. How many rasas are there? 5 primary rasas and 7 secondary rasas. 12. 5 primary rasas are number 1. Hierarchy, in hierarchically. Neutrality, called in Sanskrit as Shantaras. Dasya or servitorship. Friendship or Sakya. Fraternity, right. Parental love or Vatsalya. And finally, conjugal love or Madhurya. The holy name is an embodiment of all the rasas. All of us are thinking, oh, how wonderful that Krishna was playing with Subal and Sridhama and Arjuna, right, and Ujjwal and all of his cowherd boys. Sakya. How wonderful. Krishna was reciprocating with Nanda and Jashoda and all the elderly cowherd boys and cowherd girls of Vrindavan in a mood of parental love. Right? And how wonderful that Krishna was having his Raslila pastimes, right, with the gopis of Vrindavan. We don't need to be disappointed. All of the rasas are embodied in the holy name of Krishna because Krishna and his holy name are non-different. Right? And a person who gets freed from all of his malices in the heart actually starts experiencing Krishna's reciprocation as he chants the holy name of the Lord. Right? One time Srila Prabhupada was asked this question. Prabhupada, when we chant the holy name of the Lord, should we think of the pastimes of Lord Krishna? And Prabhupada said, no. One should simply chant and hear the holy name, and in due course of time, these pastimes will be manifested, right? So when one's heart is freed from malice, then the different pastimes of Krishna in the different rasas will be manifested in our hearts. But this was our second point for discussion today. Identity of the holy name. What a wonderful verse, is it not? From the Padma Purana, which gives us these 6 characteristics of the holy name and reveals to us what the holy name is. Now you know what is the position of the holy name. Holy name is non-different from Krishna. Abhinnatva nama namino. The holy name is completely pure. Purna shuddha. The holy name is eternally liberated. Nitya mukta. Right. The holy name is chintamani. A touchstone. 5th, the holy name is chaitanya. Fully conscious. And 6th, the holy name is rasavigraha. The embodiment of all rasas. Understanding the identity of the holy name, now we can make a relationship with the holy name. You can't make a relationship with the holy name unless you know who the person is. So that's why the second point of our discussion is identity of the holy name. And to, yes? Yeah. Yeah. Is there any difference between Hare Krishna and Radha Govinda? The second verse of the Shikshashtakam prayers, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Nam Namakari Bahudha. My dear Lord, Bahudha means many. You have many, many names. And all of your potencies are invested in your holy name. Correct? So yes, any bona fide name of the Lord when chanted will give us the desired effect. Yet at the same time, the Yuga Dharma for this age is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And more so, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Lord himself, comes and recommends we chant Hare Krishna. So then we don't need to chant any other names of the Lord. But that doesn't mean that the other names of the Lord have no potency.
Lord Chaitanya himself is saying, Nam Namakari Bahudha. You have so many names. People in India generally keep asking these kind of questions. Oh, is it okay if you chant Radha Govinda? Is it okay if you chant Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram? And they don't chant anything. They don't chant anything. No problem, you chant some bona fide names of the Lord. Not unbona fide. You can't make up the names of the Lord. Like, there are some Sahajiya sects which make up the names of the Lord. Right. Nitai Gaur, Radhe Shyam, Bhajo Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. They combine these names and they chant these names on beats every day. Right. So we can't make the names of the Lord. But in the four sampradayas, Vaishnava sampradayas, there are four different mantras that are chanted. Right. If you see the Shri sampradaya, Ramanuja sampradaya, they chant Om Namo Narayanaya. It's a bona fide mantra. Right. If you find the Rudra sampradaya where the Pushti marga is very prominent, Vallabhacharya's marga, they chant Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama on their beats. Right. If you find the Kumara Sampradaya beginning from the four Kumaras, the sons of Brahma, you'll find them very prominent in Barsana, right, the Kumara Sampradaya. And in a temple you even find the deities of the four Kumaras and the Acharyas in the Kumara Sampradaya. When you go for Vrindavan Yatra in Barsana, you'll find in Kushal Bihari Mandir. Right. They chant the Jugal Mantra. Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Sham Sham, Radhe Radhe. And we, in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But we should be convinced for sure that what we get by chanting Hare Krishna, we cannot get by chanting any of these other names of the Lord. Not because of this mantra being in the scripture in the Kali Santaran Upanishad. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming and personally giving this mantra. Therefore this is Madhurya Naam. Right? This is the name which can give us Madhurya, right? Conjugal love, it can bestow upon us the realizations of conjugal love. So the last point for today's discussion is, the third point, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his contribution to the holy name of Lord Sri Krishna. Right. And this is a very interesting point also. I'm sure many people in the West, many in India, but I'm sure many in the West also may have asked you this question, that in the scriptures, in the Kali Santaran Upanishad, the mantra that is mentioned is Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Why do all of you chant Hare Krishna? Right. And how can you actually change what is given in the scriptures? Right. So how do you answer that question? I have a wonderful realization which was given by Jananivas Prabhu. And Jananivas Prabhu's realization, which is based on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teachings, clearly shows to us the importance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in relation to the holy name. But before that, I would like to ask all of you, how would you answer this question, you know? That if the mantra given is Hare Ram, Hare Ram, now we chant Hare Krishna, beginning with Hare Krishna. Why? How would you answer? Yes.
Is it because in the olden days, all the Brahmanas... Is it because in the olden days, all the Brahmanas thought they were very qualified and you have to be qualified to chant the names? They thought you have to be qualified to chant the names, so Lord Chaitanya switched the names round, so it's anyone can chant the holy name.
According to the scriptural rules, right, in the Kali Santaran Upanishad, this mantra is given, and only those who are qualified Brahmanas can chant the Vedic mantras. Right? And Upanishad is a part of the Vedas. And therefore one doesn't have the right to chant this mantra unless one is a Brahmana. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord Himself. He is the one who gives this mantra. He changes the sequence and makes it Hare Krishna, so that people would not accuse Him of breaking the laws of the scriptures. Now He says the same effect. Whether you chant Hare Krishna or you chant Hare Ram, it's the same effect. Like Valmiki was told by Narada Muni, he couldn't chant Ram, so he said you chant Mara, Mara, Mara. So he started chanting Mara, 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 and it effectively turned out to be Ram, is it not? And he got the same benefit. So for those who are not qualified to chant, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed the sequence of the holy name so that everyone, regardless of caste, creed, birthrights, nationality, can take to the chanting of the holy name, and no one could accuse an object that how is it that you are giving an Upanishadic mantra which is meant only for Brahmanas,
in public. And this is a very common answer that is heard by all devotees in our society. Jananivas Prabhu, however, gave a very important answer to this question, a very wonderful realization. And this was based on the teachings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said that the name Rama is the name that gives liberation. Mukti Pradayaka Naam is Ram Naam. Right. And the name Krishna is the name that gives love. Prema Pradayaka Naam. Right. Mukti Pradayak is Ram Naam, which gives liberation. And Krishna Naam, or name of Krishna, gives Prema or love of God. Now, in the Vedic times, even according to the Bhagavad Gita, one is not qualified to practice devotional service unless he is liberated. Can you think of any verse in the Gita which speaks of this? Two verses in the Gita talk of this. Two verses in the Gita talk of liberation as being a prerequisite to the practice of devotional service.
Correct.
Leon Prabhu has answered.
Right.
Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na Shochati na Kangshati Samha Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labate Praman. Only one who is a Brahma Bhuta on the liberated platform na Shochati na Kangshati doesn't hanker, doesn't lament. Samha Sarveshu is equipoised to everyone. Mad Bhaktim Labate. Such a person gets devotion, love for me. Right. One more verse in the Gita, 7th chapter. Very beautiful verse also, which speaks of liberation as a prerequisite for bhakti or devotion to the Lord. Love for God. Anyone would like to try? This is from the 7th chapter. Yesham twantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrata. They who are completely freed of all sins. Esham tu antagatam papam. All their sins are free. Right. Jananam punya karmanam. Such pious people. Te dvandva moha nirmukta. Those who are freed from duality. Right. And illusion. Right. Such people who are liberated. Bhajante mam dridavrata. Are qualified to worship me in devotion. You see. So even the Bhagavad Gita talks of liberation as a prerequisite for devotion or achieving love of God. Right? Therefore, if you see the Kali Santaran Upanishad, it begins with Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Ram Naam first gives liberation. And then Krishna Naam gives Prema or love of God. That is why the sequence in the Kali Santaran Upanishad is in this way. Because that is the Vedic path. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke all the Vedic barriers and flooded the world with Krishna Prema. So he changed the sequence to Hare Krishna, which means first you get love of God, and then liberation follows as a concomitant result. Right. Therefore, if you read the teachings of all of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, liberation is absolutely minimized. And as Bilwamangal Thakur says that when one practices devotional service to the Lord, liberation comes and stands as a maid servant at one's doorstep. Right. And Rupa Goswami in his Padyavali has quoted a beautiful verse. This is a dialogue between a devotee and Mukti Devi, the goddess of liberation personified. She is coming and she is knocking at the door of the devotee. This is a dialogue actually. She knocks at the door of a devotee. And the devotee is saying, who are you knocking at my door? And she says, oh, I am Mukti. So the devotee asks, why have you come here? If you are Mukti, what is your job here? And Mukti Devi replies, since you have taken shelter of the Lord, it behooves me to come and serve you. That's the reason I have come at your doorstep. And you know what the devotee says? The devotee says, get out. Stay far away from me. Because simply by your presence here, the wonderful fragrant life, sandalwood-like fragrant devotion in my heart is getting covered over. Please get out. Please leave from this place. Right. So, the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is that when one chants the names of the Lord, when one practices devotional service, then liberation comes as an insignificant byproduct. Can you imagine? That which was a prerequisite to practice devotion has become a concomitant byproduct of devotion today. And that is the contribution of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? If it were not for the mercy of the most magnanimous Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we still wouldn't be qualified to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. It would simply be meant for those who are qualified as brahmanas, and there's no qualified brahmana in Kali Yuga. Everyone is a born shudra. Kalau shudra sambhavat, right? So there would be no one who could chant, and that is the Yuga Dharma. Can you imagine what a paradox this is? It's mentioned as a Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga, and everyone in Kali Yuga is born shudra, and if you are a shudra, you can't chant, and then how is it the Yuga Dharma? Right. What a paradox. That paradox is resolved by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By coming and removing this liberation as a prerequisite for devotional service. Practice devotional service, chant the holy name of the Lord, and all of these other things come simply as byproducts. So these are the three points that we discussed today. We will summarize in brief what we discussed this afternoon. Firstly, we discussed the scriptural hierarchy and relationship with the holy name. We spoke of the Gita, right? Bhakti Yoga being the essential preaching in the Gita. Example of the sandwich, right? Then we spoke of the conclusion of the Gita was surrender unto me alone. Example of the mountain and the peak given by Baldev Vidyabhushan. Right, a mountaineer would always want to go to the peak. So where the Gita ends, the Bhagavatam begins. Right. Surrender unto the Lord is seen practically in the lives of all the devotees of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what does the Bhagavatam end with? Nama Sankirtanam Yasya. Chanting of the holy name of the Lord, congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. What the Bhagavatam ends with? Chaitanya Charitamrit begins there. Lord Chaitanya coming and preaching the holy names all over the world. Not all over the world, sorry. Only in a few parts of India. And where the Chaitanya Charitamrit ends, that's where Srila Prabhupada's role begins. As a Shaktyavesh avatar, preaching the glories of the holy name in every town and village. And for that, I told the story of Brahmananda Swami and this Gaudiya Vaishnava Sannyasi in Jagannath Puri. Right. So that was our first point, scriptural hierarchy. Then the second point we discussed was the identity of the holy name. And I would recommend that if possible, within these 5 days, we should memorize this verse. I would give a few verses every discussion, right, to be memorized as important verses. Very important. If we know these verses, they'll be very handy in our use when we preach to others. Our preaching will be very authoritative and effective. Right. And I'm sure there is a shloka memorization class or something like that also meant for you. I don't know. I was supposed to take that, but he told me to take the holy name class. Right. So maybe you can learn that time, or you could even learn it now, whenever. Right. If you want, I'll write down the verse on the board also. Right. So, the 6 qualities of the holy name. Krishna and his name, non-different. Right. Krishna's name is completely pure. Krishna's name is eternally liberated. Krishna's name is a touchstone. Krishna's name is fully conscious, and Krishna's name is embodiment of all the mellows of devotional service. And finally, the third point that we discussed today was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's specific contribution. What is his contribution? He took away all the barriers which would stop us today from chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. Right? By reversing the sequence of the holy name, he made the holy name available to everyone in the world. Therefore it is said, patra apatra na dekhi na dekhetara murti. He did not see who is qualified, who is unqualified. He just opened the gates, right, of the treasure of love of Godhead and flooded the whole universe with the holy names of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So is there any question anyone has? Our Chirag Prabhu was asking a few wonderful questions, and those questions made nice points also. If there's any other question or clarification any other devotee wants to have, yes, Prabhu. Why is it that the name Ram gives liberation? That is how it is in the scripture. Right. Ram is called Mukti Pradata, right, and Krishna is called Prema Pradata. Not that there is no love for Lord Ram, but even if you examine closely the pastimes of Lord Ram in Ramayana, then the reciprocation of relationships and love seems to be more out of reverence, right? Seems to be more in the dasya or the shantabhava than the sakhya or madhurya and vatsalya, right? And even if there is sakhya with like Lakshmana and vatsalya with Kausalya and Dasharatha and madhurya with Sita Devi, they're all tinged with a lot of reverence, right? All of that, you find mainly servitorship there, right? So love seems to be the prerogative of Prema Purushottam, Leela Purushottam Krishna, right? Krishna is the one who gives love and Lord Chaitanya is the one who distributes love. So although the same Supreme Lord, yet each of the different incarnations of the Supreme Lord have different aspects in their personalities, right? It's not that all the different aspects of the Supreme Personality are embodied in one person, except Krishna. Except Krishna. Right. Is that okay? Yeah. Any other question?
You know, there's, you talked about five primary rasas, and then there's seven secondary ones. So, in this stage of our Krishna consciousness, should we ever aspire to be Krishna's friend? Or anything like that?
Should we aspire to be Krishna's friend? Should we aspire to be a manjiri or a gopi in the, you know, secluded kunjas of Golok Vrindavan? Just go with Krishna around and have nice loving relationships with Krishna. Right? Each and every living being, as a part and parcel of Krishna, has a relationship with Krishna. That relationship is called Swarupa. If you read the introduction to the Gita, Prabhupada talks about this in the introduction to Gita. Right? And each of our relationships with Krishna is fixed. Right? Our rasa with Krishna is fixed. Therefore, when we go back to Krishna, we are not going to reinstate ourselves in a newer rasa, but we are going to reinstate ourselves in the particular relationship which we already had with Krishna. Right? So therefore, to aspire to be something is not really what we need to do. Our only aspiration is we want to be a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna and His devotees. Right? If this is our aspiration, then all other things will follow as a result. Swarupa Siddhi will follow as a result. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there was one particular personality, very popular personality, and he was giving the Siddha Pranali Mantra. Siddha Pranali Mantra was a mantra by which you could realize who you are in the spiritual world. You are a peacock or you are a deer, and you would start practicing that when you are here in this world. Right? When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur heard this, he said, our Siddha Pranali Mantra is Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. If we chant the holy name in this mood, what we are in the spiritual world, we will revive. Right? Of course, one of few times Srila Prabhupada said that our relationship with Krishna can also be changed. Right? That is Krishna willing. Krishna willing, if he wants a particular devotee who is in a certain rasa, if he wants him to change to a certain other rasa, Krishna may do that. That is his prerogative, right? But from our side, our relationship with Krishna is always fixed. So we don't want to aspire to be a friend or a gopi or a manjiri or Krishna's father or mother. We simply want to be gopi bhartur padakamalayor dasa dasa dasanudasa.
But isn't it very difficult to build a relationship with Krishna?
Isn't it very difficult?
To build a relationship with Krishna if you're very much in the mood of awe and reverence. Like when coming before the deities, like if you're very much fearful, and you know, then you can't really reveal your heart because you're like, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sometimes it feels easier to understand the Lord's position, but revealed like a child or something. So is that possible also?
If I get you rightly, you're saying it's sometimes easier to understand the Lord's position as a child? Or?
No, I'm saying understanding Krishna as a friend,
yeah,
is sometimes much easier. That you still come before Him, but if it's very much awe and reverence.
We can understand Krishna as a friend in terms of Suridam Sarva Bhuteshu. He is a well-wisher and friend of all living entities. From within the heart is the super soul. He is guiding us. Yes, He is our friend. Yes, the holy name is our friend, definitely. But to think of Krishna as a friend in a rasa, like the sakhas, that's not what we can do. Yes, Krishna is our friend, definitely. If He were not our friend, right, He wouldn't guide us from within the heart. From Him comes remembrance, from Him comes forgetfulness, from Him comes knowledge. Right? So Krishna guides those who are sincere. So therefore, making relationship is an integral part of our lives. It is the quality of the soul. We can't be without making relationships. Right? But to make relationship with Krishna in a certain mellow is not what we can do now. Thus, we should make a relationship with devotees. Right? We can make a relationship with devotees, associate with devotees, and practice the process of Krishna consciousness in such a way that when our heart is freed from malice, then naturally that relationship will be established. Prabhupada very often said that it's not an artificial imposition. Right? Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition. Therefore, we don't say that I have to become Krishna conscious. You don't have to be. You have to simply revive your Krishna consciousness. Revive our relationship with Krishna. You understand? So we can't artificially imitate that. Artificially trying to do it is Sahajiya mentality. Taking Krishna cheaply. Like the Sahajiyas do. Right? He is Krishna and I am Gopi and now I am dancing or Krishna is my child. So I'll feed Krishna butter and this and that. Right? So that's not what Gaudiya Vaishnavas do. We stress more on serving the servants of the servants of the servants of the Lord and His devotees, and everything is revealed in due course of time. Like there's this famous story of the Vice Chancellor of the Banaras Hindu University, BHU, very popular university in India, right? His name was Madan Mohan Malviya, and he was studying the Vedas and he had several questions. So he came to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, I want to ask you a few questions. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I don't have much time. Few of my disciples are, you know, there you go and ask them. So he went and the disciples were cleaning pots in the kitchen. So they start asking, this Madan Mohan Malviya started asking a few questions. So this devotee said, look, we are too busy cleaning pots. You come and help us clean these pots and then maybe when we are a little free, we can answer your questions. So this guy, Vice Chancellor, he came and helped clean pots. And when all the pots were cleaned, he didn't ask any further questions. He was leaving. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur called him and said, did you get the answers to all of your questions? He said, yes, yes. Did my disciples answer? He said, no. But how did you get the answers? He said, I just helped them clean the pots. Right. Therefore, it is said, Atah Sri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grahyam indriyai sevon mukhei jivvadav swayameva spurati yada. The holy name of Krishna, the pastimes, the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, we cannot grasp them by our sensual powers, by our intellectual prowess. Sevon mukhe jivvadav. Serving the Lord, sevon mukhe, beginning with the tongue, by chanting His name and using our senses in service to Him. Swayameva spurati. Automatically they will be revealed to us. Now that is our process in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. Is that okay? It's 4:30. Yeah? So we'll meet tomorrow at 3:30 once again? 3 o'clock. Sorry, 3 o'clock. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada.